We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Date prearranged for you in a virtual setting, whatever your comfort level. Our professional matchmakers make sure your dating experience is safe, low pressure, and fun. There's only so much you can control in life. With It's Just Lunch, dating is one of them. Date your way and take back control today by casting your vote for more connection and a better future. Visit itsjustlunchsanfrancisco.com or call 415-989-9818. It's Just Lunch. Connection awaits with guaranteed dates.
At Charmin, we understand the last thing you should have to worry about right now is having enough toilet paper. Please know we're working around the clock to get you more Charmin as quickly as possible. We're also donating $2 million to direct relief to serve our communities. In the meantime, from our Charmin family to yours, please stay safe.
Sports and scandals, what more could you ask for? I'm Rachel Bonetta.
And I'm Rechna Fruchtbaum.
And every week on our new podcast, Hall of Shame, we'll take each other through some of the biggest scandals in sports history.
From Maria Sharapova's doping scandal to Dennis Rodman's friendship with Kim Jong-un, we'll talk about what happened, why these stories matter, and how they're still relevant today.
New episodes of Hall of Shame come out every Monday. Find it on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your shows.
Find the high-impact hire your business needs fast on Indeed. No long-term contracts and lots of great candidates at Indeed.com/high-impact.
From San Ramon to San Mateo to Campbell, this is KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Halfway through here on a Friday, John Dickinson, along with Daryl the Guru Johnson, Roxy Bernstein, and you at 888-957-9570. And, of course, Phil Friday right here on 95.7 The Game.
I just had a thought. Feels so great. When do artists say, you know what, Roxy, JD, this is my last album? Like, why are we not getting more from Phil? You know, your voice still young. He's one of the greatest ever. I haven't seen
physical,
anything.
Physical ailments the last few. He's been dealing with some real back problems. Like, I think on his last tour.
See, playoff race they've inserted.
Are you buying them? The Bears? Still?
It's a pretty shoddy 4-1, but it's 4-1. I'd rather have their 4-1 than the 49ers, 3-2, just because it's a 4-1. It's a 4-1. So
you are what your record says you are.
Exactly. And again, it is kind of fluky. I mean, they hung on to a game against the Giants. They came back against the Lions week one. It's not an impressive 4-1, but people said the 49ers, when they were 4-0 last year, it wasn't impressive. And then the thing is, as the season goes on, Goo, it gives you an opportunity to play better and legitimize yourself. So they're not, maybe they're not there yet, but they have an opportunity to become legitimate, Goo. So you want a quick thought on the Bears, or we can move into the Tom Brady portion of it?
No,
the Bears
are
somebody the Niners have to keep an eye on now.
No doubt. Roxy, what do you think of Khalil Mack? And he threw the middle finger to B, got two sacks last night. Their defense, along with Tampa Bay, those were pretty good. That wasn't Big 12 last night, so I was impressed.
Have these double-digit leads, and they can't win games for whatever reason. This year has just been nuts with these double-digit comebacks.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you look at the Bears, you know, to me what ultimately will save their season is the fact that they were able to not have Trubisky cost them anything. Like, I was of the belief that Foles was the better option no matter what, but for them to be able to make the transition from Trubisky to Foles and not have to take a loss because they made that transition, to me, was that was paramount. Like, that, like, if they were 0-2 or 1-2 and then did it, then I think the thing can go completely off the rails, and that hasn't happened yet. So, yeah, go ahead, Goo.
Real quick, to both of you, because I know you're aficionados football, but when Chicago was trying to get the game-winning field goal, why would Nagy throw the ball on second down? I wanted to just throw something at my TV, and I felt like they shouldn't have won the game because that was coaching negligence, Roxy and JD. How do you throw the ball and they got one timeout, you run it, and you take 45 or 50 seconds off from Tom Brady coming down on the other end? I just didn't get that. It's crazy.
Well, I think it was because Tom Brady's on the other side. And they weren't just going to maybe settle for the field goal, right? Because Brady still had time. Tampa Bay got the ball back. I think Chicago was of the mindset that they felt they had to score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
to give themselves that margin for error.
Yeah,
I give Matt Nagy credit, I guess, for the aggressiveness in trying to win. They also could have bumped the clock down to 35.
Right. Come on, there you go.
and honestly, I think Matt Nagy has a tendency to get a little too cute at the wrong time or to get a little too aggressive at the wrong time. I know you always want to lean toward being aggressive, but given the way the Bears' defense had been getting after Tom Brady, I would have run the clock, kicked the field goal, given Brady less time, even though at that point he would have only needed, you know, a field goal to go down and win the game. But the Bears win, so keep an eye on them. I mean, we talked about it yesterday as far as the NFC. You know, you got the four teams in the West. You got the Packers and the Bears. You got the Saints and the Bucks. And whoever wins the East, but as far as, you know, those other three divisions are concerned, it's basically eight teams that are fighting for six playoff spots, Roxy.
Well, you mentioned Brady and the struggles that he had last night. And it from where he was last Sunday, for example, against the Chargers, he was terrific. Last night was not a good classic Tom Brady performance, as he missed a lot of receivers. He had a season-worst 10 off-target throws last night, and five of those were 15-plus yards, which he'd been pretty good at so far this year. He didn't do a good job getting downfield for the 15 yards-plus downfield category. He was 2-for-8 in his passes last night. It's the fewest such completions on throws this season for him. Like last week against the Chargers, he was 7 of 11 on those 15-yarders and more for over 200 yards passing. He was sacked three times in the second half last night. That was – Brady had a tough time last night. The offensive line for Tampa Bay was terrible last night, I thought.
Yeah, and we buried the lead, I think, a little bit coming into this segment. It, you know, the offensive line was terrible, and Tom Brady expressed, you know, that frustration. I mean, he's yelling at guys. They're picking up penalties. He's taking sacks. And then – it winds up in a situation where on the Bucs' final offensive play, he clearly thought it was third down and not fourth down. It winds up being an incompletion, and he had to be, you know, repeatedly told, Goo, hey, that was fourth down. You got to come off the field. Like, he was refusing to admit it, even though everybody knew it. And, you know, it brings the question to light, you know, hey, you're the guy undressing your offensive lineman. You know, for being unable to protect you or the other players on the offense for not getting to the spots that they need to be, you know, and then you forget what down it is on the biggest play of the game, which leads to a turnover on downs. What did you think of that, Goo?
I loved it, and I think no other quarterback in the league right now has the equity to make a Southwest moment mistake, which I called that, Roxy, you want to get away, because that was shocking to see Tom Brady, you know, in that situation. But I do know this. Okay, he doesn't treat each down any differently. So, yeah, he thought it was third down, but he was giving it his all. Roxy, You know, there's Captain James T. Kirk. There's Han Solo. You got guys that are in charge that are supposed to run the ship. We saw The Last Dance with Michael Jordan. You know, it wasn't Cub Scouts. The alpha males, you know, got to call out the guys, and I think that comes with the territory. There's, I think, of Rich Gannon when his stint with the Raiders. There's some guys that are natural leaders, and when I see Tom Terrific on the sideline, even in New England, you get the ultimate pass to do that because you have excelled. And did Tom have his best night last night, Roxy? No, but I thought the conditions weren't ideal for a 43-year-old quarterback, but why he went on his tangent was when he did have plus plays of 15 yards and 20-yard receptions, he got negated by headbutts, you know, by offensive linemen. So I say all that to say is, if I were on a team, I would love my quarterback to be that demonstrative. Let me know I'm messing up, because I know it's coming from the right place. And also, too, cut the shenanigans when you got a positive play, but your lineman's headbutting people down there. So I like that. I think we need more of that. And I would like to see some of that fire from Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think you have to have to win a Super Bowl. If you're the starting quarterback, light their ass on fire, Roxy and JD, if it's not going well. That's what Ken Stabler and the greats Roger Staubach and Terry Bradshaw, to me, used to do, and I don't think there's enough of that.
What's almost as shocking was the reaction from Bruce Arians after the game last night when he was asked about it, and then he staunchly defended Brady, saying, oh, no, he knew that was fourth down. He knew that was... No, he didn't. He didn't know. Bruce Arians, I think, is scared of Brady also. You know,
a few weeks ago,
Brady, you know, had some comment about Arians, and when Arians said something, and it kind of, I'm not saying it got contentious between the two, but I think there was the head coach intimidated by Tom Brady also last night, staunchly defending him, not wanting to go against what Tom Brady had said because of what happened previously. But almost as shocking for me was Bruce Arians' reaction after the game last night, saying, oh, yeah, Brady completely knew it was fourth. No, he didn't. No.
Yeah, look, he look did not, JD. Yeah.
The film don't lie.
Yeah, he did not. And those two clearly have had issues in the early going that they're trying to work out. I have no problem with what Brady did. And look, this made the rounds in our little, you know, group chat last night and in our pre-show meeting this morning. Like Tom Brady has every right to do it, but if you're any starting quarterback goo that has some clout in your locker room, I think every situation is different. And you know, look, if you're Tom Brady and you've got six rings, and even if it is a new team, you know, you have the ability to set that tone, and everybody else has to fall in line, and everybody else has to deal with it and figure out how to adapt and have those conversations with Tom. Now, you can, is it a bad look that you're doing that and then you mess up the down? You know, maybe it is, Goo. Maybe it is a bad look, but I don't think it matters because, you know, the truth is, you know, if the offensive line had played better, if they had had fewer stupid penalties, if they could have moved the ball at a greater clip earlier in the game, you know, it wouldn't have come down to fourth down at the end of the game. So I'm all for a leader at times. And look, it's all determined by respect and clout, and that doesn't have to be championships. Like, I think Jimmy Garoppolo has enough respect and clout in the 49ers locker room from his teammates to where he could light guys up the way that Tom Brady did, and it would be respected. Now, not everybody has that cachet. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, that doesn't make the person who attempts to lead in that fashion a bad guy. Phillip Rivers does it. Brady does it.
No, the GOAT could go.
You know, to me, you have the ability to do it. Sometimes if you're on a team, you have to demonstratively pull people together. You know, everybody gets deemed, Roxy, as a negative, you know, and it may look bad as you view it, but that doesn't mean that it's coming from a bad place. Sometimes that type of emotion and leadership is necessary. Let's go. We're bogging down. We're better than this. Let's go.
And we've seen guys do this over the years, and you looked at, nobody was more harsh at his teammates than Michael Jordan, Goo, and we saw that, right, you know, in The Last Dance. But he came with this respect, and he earned that right. And when you put in the time, remember how much of a sour-ass Rich Gannon was when he was with the Raiders?
Man.
But
I mean, brought him up.
He also, you would see that from him on the sideline. And he didn't even get after guys like Tim Brown. But they knew where it was coming from. When you've earned that right, they know at the end of the day that you have their back, but at the same time, the passion, the fire comes, and you respect it so much, just wanting everybody to be on the same page. The frustration is there, and I think it was there from Brady last night. It spilled over, and we saw it on the sideline.
Yeah, you know what? And JD and Roxy, I think, here I go, it's two different things. When you say something like Bruce did, Brady's head coach, to the media and the reporters, that's where I say, you know what, that can be, even if it's a player, that when you take it to the press, it can be deemed disrespectful because you didn't tell me first. But when I see guys like Brady, I loved every minute of that. And I guess what I'm asking you, just to back to Garoppolo, the fact that he took his team to the Super Bowl, and you know what, Garoppolo may be Steph Curry. And everybody is who they are, and there's nothing wrong with that. They lead by example, quiet assassin. But you know how many times I've been in Oracle Arena, and there's a timeout, and Draymond Green's yelling at Steph because he didn't shoot it, or Clay because he didn't shoot it, and there's never any friction because I know Clay knows it's coming from a good spot. So I ask you to this. If you saw Jimmy do that this Sunday against Miami, if somebody, you know, the offensive line wasn't doing their job or somebody dropped a ball or fumbled, would you be okay with it? Because what I hate in our new world now, our social media world, that video of Brady up down the sideline, people, oh, it's a double standard. If such and such did this. Jameis Winston, he hasn't earned that right to do that. So that's, you know, people were saying that last night, and it just goes back to what have you accomplished? Phillip Rivers, JD, hadn't won a Super Bowl, but he knows how to run an offense. We've seen it. So you get that respect.
I think it depends on the individual situation in your locker room. And to relate it back to Jimmy Garoppolo, I do think Jimmy Garoppolo is respected enough by his teammates to where he could do that. I think that's what it all boils down to. You can't do it all the time. Look, I mean, that's the other thing. You can't do it all the time or it just gets lost. And it's like, all right, well, I think it becomes kind of an eye roll if you're somebody that does it all the time. I do think you have to have clout. Clout does not mean championship rings necessarily, Roxy. Clout can just be respect. You know, it's just been in the game for a long time and had success, as Brady has, as Phillip Rivers has. You know, two different examples, right? Brady's won the rings, Roxy. Rivers hasn't, but both kind of lead in that way from time to time.
When you see people put in the time and the effort, right, as far as the quarterback goes, like Phillip Rivers, for example, was always the first guy in the facility and the last guy to leave. When you're doing that, that commands the respect from the locker room. Doesn't matter what level necessarily you're playing, but it's the respect factor. It's what you're putting into it. And that's what the players will, I think, feed off of. If it's somebody who just shows up and goes through the motions and isn't as locked in and focused as you'd like, for example, when Ryan Leaf was with the Chargers, right? We heard the stuff that was going on with him off the field. If he tried to pull that, you don't have the same respect. But when you're somebody that's there punching the clock and the first one in the building and the last one to leave, then you have that respect and the ability to be able to do it in a locker room. And I think that's what people see with Garoppolo, that he's putting in the time and the effort. You do that, players will respect it.
You know what? You know what you got me thinking, fellas, both of you? And here I go. It's not a quarterback, but it's my favorite wide receiver ever in the NFL. And this guy's not perfect, but I know he loved the game and he wanted to win. And that's one Terrell Owens. And we used to see him be ultra demonstrative, but I guess I posed a question to you two is why didn't he get the benefit of the doubt, JD? Because he used to get, I mean, obliterated by the press and almost like, is it because, you know, his stature or just, you know, people, I mean, he lost a lot of people because he would go off on the sideline, but it was from a good place.
I think it's hard when you're not a quarterback to be that guy on the offense. Like, I think I don't know what you think, Roxy, but I think when you're not a quarterback, you almost have to be, you know, triple the respect level, you know, as a guy. I don't know. What do you think of that?
Well, I think Jerry Rice, when he played for the 49ers, was able to do it. Now, you're talking about the greatest wide receiver that ever played the game. So it's like apples and oranges, right? T.O. was great, and he's a Hall of Famer, but Jerry Rice is in a class by himself. So, and also, it was hard work was synonymous with Jerry Rice. People knew the time and effort he was putting in, not just during the season, but the off season. So he's a guy that could get away with it. But that list, JD, I'm with you, is few and far between if it's not the quarterback position. If it's a veteran offensive lineman, for example, I could see that. Joe Staley, the last couple of years, if he said something, he stood up in the locker room, people would respond, right? So there are a few situations where I think it's acceptable, where it'll be looked upon by the teammates as, all right, you know, I'll let him have his say, whatever.
Yeah.
But those situations are few and far between, I believe, if it's not the quarterback.
Little 49ers news here. Nothing official yet as far as any injury designations. That's going to come at some point in the 1 o'clock hour. But per the assembled media at 49ers practice for the open portion, which is very short on a Friday, no Deebo Samuel at today's practice. He missed yesterday with what was listed as an illness. Jimmy Garoppolo and Raheem Mostert are back on the practice field for a third consecutive day. Both of them limited the first 2 days of practice. Again, the Friday practice is typically, it's more than a walkthrough, but it's not quite a full practice. It's a very high speed, you know, get it in about an hour, hour and 15 minutes, and get on with, you know, the final preparations for the Sunday game. So we'll see if either or both are upgraded to being a full participant in what is, guys, typically the, you know, a lighter practice to gear up for the game Sunday.
Wow, I don't know what to think. You know, it's not like baseball when you know, you want to find out who's starting and you kind of find out right before the game, Roxy. But this illness with Deebo, it has me concerned. And again, if it was something with the Jones fracture, they would say that. I know they're not jockeying.
Yeah.
So now I know it's Friday, but back to Garoppolo and Mostert. I guess if you get both of those guys back and Deebo, for whatever reason, can't go, I'll take it. But very concerned about young Deebo Samuel, Roxy, and what this quote-unquote illness means moving forward.
It is a concern because he is one of your premier weapons. And not knowing the specifics of what's going on, and JD, you alluded to a situation earlier where he may have been the 49er that tested positive over the summer when they had those workouts in Tennessee. But we know that it's more than likely not COVID-related because everything would be shut down if it was. And we're seeing, for example, the New York Jets and what's happening with a potential positive test there. And everything shut down. The facility's closed for today. And the Cardinals not knowing if they're going to have a game on Sunday in New York. But whatever the illness is, I think it has to be a concern going into Sunday because – the Niner offense, at some point, we want to see everybody together.
Yes,
right? We want to see Deebo with Ayuk, with Kittle, Jimmy G back, Mostert back, with that offensive line. And when you're short a guy and a key player, it makes it difficult on everybody else, and people are thrust into roles they're not necessarily ready for.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. So we'll keep an eye on that as far as when Kyle Shanahan speaks. We may even have an opportunity to turn around a little bit of that sound before the end of the show at 2 o'clock. Again, Kyle Shanahan will meet right around, you know, somewhere between 1 and 1:30 roughly with the media. And the first thing that he does each and every Friday leading into a Sunday game guru is, all right, this guy's out, this guy's out, this guy's questionable, this guy's good to go. So we'll get that news here as we do each and every Friday before we are off the air at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it's just funny, and I don't want to say we take it for granted, the fans and everybody that doesn't play the game, but you come into this season, Roxy, and I was telling JD and the fellas, it's about Operation Super Bowl. You got to get back and get that revenge, but you never, you know, you never – count for injuries. And again, I know Kyle Shanahan is not, you know, overly demonstrative, but I saw him speak and you just saw a guy that was tired. He wasn't blaming anybody. You can't. But he was like, yeah, you know, we get a couple guys back, And then other guys keep going out. And now I just think about him and how he's dealing with this possible news about Debo. You think about Jimmy, who hasn't played one game with Debo Samuel. And if that's in jeopardy, it's just like, yeah, you keep your eye on the prize and you use the duct tape and Elmer glue. But it can just be mentally, I could imagine, Roxy, mentally exhausting for a head coach with musical chairs in every facet of your football team.
See, With injuries and, for example, Debo's situation, I don't know if Kyle Shanahan is having issues with it or it's mentally taxing or draining on him, because when you're a coach, you only worry about what you can control, right? There's things you can't control. Injuries, illness, you can't control that. And you have to deal with a situation that you're handed. So you may devise the game plan of having him involved, but then might have to move away from that, not knowing if he's going to be there. And I think that as a coach, and Kyle Shanahan is so good at preparing his football team, that he's prepared for both scenarios. He's prepared to have Debo on Sunday, and he's prepared to play without him. And I think as a coach, that's the way. That's the only way, guys, you can look at it. You can't worry about stuff that's out of your control. And a lot of times, you can't even worry about the officiating, right? If a bad call, there's nothing you can do about it. You have to worry about the things you can control and just deal with the other stuff, and I think that's the way you have to approach this with Debo Samuel.
And I think regardless, Goo, of what ultimately happens with Debo Samuel, the best news is the fact to me that it's not the Jones fracture. Like, you know, the fact that it's illness and not Jones fracture, I think is good. I think that's positive news. If it was the foot, you know, if it had been listed yesterday, Debo Samuel foot didn't practice, I think that would be a major concern, not only for Sunday, but for the remainder of the season. When you see illness, even during a pandemic, I still think there's a greater sense of relief. And as Roxy alluded to, if it was COVID related, you know, and
it'd
he
be
had
shut
tested
down.
Positive, it, he would be on the COVID list, and it would, and that, exactly, they wouldn't be having a practice right now. In addition to Goo, the fact that again, it was never officially announced or reported, but there was a lot of speculation going back to June when Debo Samuel broke his foot that he was the 49er that may have tested positive for the coronavirus, when there was one of that group that did test positive. And the line of thinking back then, Goo, would have been, well, how would he know? And he would have found out when he went in for the surgery to the hospital. If you're going to get a surgery at that point, he would have been tested, and that's how they would have found out that he would have had it. But again, I want to make sure that I'm not stating that as fact. That's what had been speculated going all the way back to June.
Yeah, Roxy, they had a famous rap group back in the 90s, Naughty by Nature, but your boy here is Nosy by Nature. So I got to tell you, man, I want to know. Like, we're in a world where information's coming at you left and right, and I love the fact, I'm not happy he had COVID, but the fact that he already went through it, you think that's not it, because that's what I went to, but this umbrella, Roxy, of illness is kind of scaring me. I don't know.
But, Goo, are you down with OP?
Yeah. Well, I'm married, so I'm not. That's right. Right. Yeah, maybe back in the day, but, yeah, not now, right? Yeah, I'm on a straight narrow.
On that note, hey, coming up on 95.7, you know, I'm kidding.
I have a wife.
Right. To segue.
Hey, yeah, there you go.
I almost got you in trouble, man.
I'll be all right, Roxy.
Just chew it and do it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Almost shut this whole thing down about 90 minutes early. What do you got? Anyway.
I'm worried, JD. I'm worried about the illness. When will you think we'll know something?
Stay tuned. I think we'll know something in about 45 minutes because, okay, you know, Kyle Shanahan, he will declare, you know, Debo is out or questionable, and then I got to think the first question is going to be about him because everybody kind of sees the lay of the land regarding Garoppolo or Mostert. Maybe Garoppolo is the first question. If he's questionable, you know, how did he look? How's he feeling? Who's the backup going to be? You know, Kyle say, no, I'm not going to tell you till Sunday because I don't want to let the Dolphins know. And then so there may be those two questions, Roxy, and then it winds up being, hey, so what's the deal with Debo?
The gamesmanship, right? To keep them guessing and having them prepare for somebody they may or may not see, and All of a sudden, it distracts the defensive coordinator, and he's got to spend a little extra time on this just in case you happen to see this guy or that guy. And I think that's the challenge when you're preparing for the 49ers this week, right? Because we're talking about key players that make the offense go. So if you're game planning defensively for the Miami Dolphins, you have to prepare for all three quarterbacks. You may pay extra attention thinking Garoppolo's going to be the guy, but you also have to prepare and scout for Mullins and Beathard because there is the possibility they could play. And then you have to game plan for they may or may not have Deebo Samuel. How does that affect what the 49ers want to do? So this gamesmanship makes the Dolphins spend extra time worrying about things that may not even have an impact on the football game.
Yeah, and I do think Kyle Shanahan, if it's going to be Garoppolo, I do think Kyle Shanahan will say today that it's going to be Garoppolo. And he did say on Wednesday, if it's not going to be Garoppolo, if Garoppolo is ruled out, he did say that he wasn't going to, Roxy, say whether it would be Mullins or Beathard that would get the start, and also who the backup would be. As he put it, you're going to have to see who is active come 11:30 on Sunday morning.
And as far as the game planning and preparation goes for the Dolphins, it's already in, right? They've already spent that time, X's and O's for Sunday. So at this point now, okay, well, the game plan's already in. They've already spent that time all week, so you could divulge it now. Now, Deebo Samuel may be able to keep them guessing if they're going to see him or not. But as far as the quarterback goes, they prepared for all three. They spent time on all three. So at this point, by them knowing who the quarterback is going to be, I don't think it affects their defensive game plan either way.
And we had Cameron Wolf on yesterday, Goo, and who covers the Dolphins, and he said, you know, they're basically preparing for all three, but also their belief is, hey, the system doesn't change very much, so it's more about the system than it is even the individual quarterback. And I think that's been true. You know, even with Nick Mullins in there, Goo, Kyle Shanahan hasn't really changed much. He's run the full system as they would with Jimmy Garoppolo in there.
Yeah, and it's interesting, if you guys keep up with me here, you know, we talk about these windows in sports, and I'll just use the Warriors fellas as example. There's no doubt in my mind, had Kevin Durant not tore his Achilles, Roxy, the Warriors would have had a three-peat. And, you know, nobody can take that away. But it was a good run. You got two out of three. My point being, is it just me now? Because these rash of injuries have me thinking about this team in its totality and its future. Should I check myself and not do that? Because again, when you look at teams and you talk about this word window, it looks good, but you never calculate the injuries. And now I'm looking around like it's just this season has been robbed. It's about survival of the fittest now. And we may never be able to judge the 2029ers at their whole. And is it a given for you to just say, you know what, Goo, they'll be back next year and they'll be healthy? Well, we don't know. And should I just compartmentalize that, Roxy, and not think that way? Or can this affect the Niners' window moving forward?
Well, here's the way I've looked at this season, whether it's the NFL, whether it's college football, whether it's major, whatever sport it is. You don't assume anything. We can't assume a thing, right? From week to week, for example, the 49ers, we don't know what's going to happen with the virus, and what the Tennessee Titans are dealing with right now, the possibility the Jets game may get canceled, all these games getting moved. Don't assume we figured out everything because we don't know from week to week. And just because we might view, for example, the Packers or the Seahawks right now as the favorite in the NFC, we don't know what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. We don't know what's going to happen. So you can't get ahead of yourself, especially this year more than any. You can't just assume you know what's going to happen. You can't take things for granted. And from week to week, you have to look at it as the situation unfolds. And that's the way I've approached this season. And for what it means down the road, for example, we don't know the impact this could have going into 2021 from a financial standpoint with all the revenue lost in whatever sport you want to choose.
Guru, I'm looking at the game last night, the Tampa-Chicago game, and I think, you know, hey, the Bears put themselves in the conversation, at least for now, as far as a team, you know, that's in the mix to be a playoff team. I think they play Green Bay next week, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll see what the Packers do. You know, that's obviously a major division game. But the Bears are in that mix. I looked at it, though, from a 49ers point of view. Like, okay, that's, you know, if the Bucks had won, I think the Bucks are in the mix regardless when it's all said and done. But if the Bucks had won, that would have put the Bears to their second loss. And I guess what I'm getting at is I think it's better from a 49ers point of view if the Bears lose, because the 49ers are probably going to wind up in a mix with Chicago for a team that's looking at a wild card spot, as opposed to the Bucks, who I think are ultimately going to be a team that's firm and solid in their standing.
Yeah, and you know what, JD? I agree with you, but at the end of the day, it's Operation Miami, right? I mean, we can do this and play the schedule game in the standings, Roxy, but
wait a
the
minute.
Niners
that
can't.
Is a different meeting than it used to, right? Is that you're talking about this week?
Yeah.
Because remember,
yeah,
last year was Operation Miami, but that's where the Super Bowl was, so I want to make
but
sure
that's
we
when everybody was healthy, whole.
Yeah. So it's not Operation Tampa, because that's where the Super Bowl is. It's Operation Miami, because they're playing the Dolphins this week. Okay.
Right, and it's so easy, Roxy, to look down the road, and JD, you're not wrong, but you got to take care of your business, and that's all you can do. Whoever you have with you and available come Sunday, hopefully you go 3-2, and again, not to be redundant, if somehow Jimmy's back, Mostert's back, but they still lose, which is a possibility, the season's by far is not over. And one of the most beautiful things, and it makes me hate the NFL as I love it, is the fact that 1 week feels like 2 years in the NFL, Roxy, with the standings, the injuries, and just like you spoke about profoundly, things change and don't look down the road. And that's what I'm doing in with this season from this point on. Just take care of Sunday and the Miami Dolphins as best you can.
Roxy, final thought here, and then we'll come back. I got a question to pose to the callers as well.
This game on Sunday, it's got to be, for the 49ers, a response to the disappointment they had from last week. They need to come out, as Leroy Horde talked about, what it's like all week. And they're grumpy, right? They're frustrated. They've had to hear it from their coaches in position meetings all week. They're sitting in the offensive line room where they've just been basically ripped apart by their offensive line coach all week. They can't wait to go out and take that frustration out on somebody else. I think you're going to get a laser-sharp performance from the 49ers, regardless of who the quarterback is, if Mostert's back, if they have Debo. This team is going to be ready for football on Sunday because they know what's at stake, and they know that they're better than they showed last week. I think they're embarrassed by their performance, and that will really, I think, resonate with them heading into Sunday.
Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fix Auto Collision Centers. It's a simple question, 888-957-9570. Going back to the game last night between Tampa Bay and Chicago, was Tom Brady out of pocket? Like, flat out, was he out of pocket for blasting his offensive line and then not knowing the down at the end of that game and believing it was third down when it was actually fourth down, and Bruce Arians covering for him after the game. We'll get into that. That's all sponsored by Fix Auto Collision Centers. A traffic accident can be a real headache, so let Fix Auto Collision Centers help. Fix Auto has locations throughout the Bay Area. Call 1-800-INFO-FIX to find the location nearest you. Fix Auto, the first words that should come to mind after an accident.
Based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, Babbel.com.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Gerald the Guru Johnson, and Roxy Bernstein here on a Friday with you until 2 o'clock, 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. That's where Robster in Oakland checks in. Robster? What's up, my man?
Hey, what's going on? I'm going to get right to it, man. The 49ers, their problem is their quarterback. Everybody knows that, you know, you got to scrap. It's like, the images of the last three losses was quarterback images. Had one throwing the ball over the guy's head, Sanders laying in the field, looked like he praying. How can you do that? And then the next one, you can hit the man in the back of the head, you know, and it's not a carnival. And the next one is another quarterback image where you miss shoes check, he's 10 feet from you, and then you hit the other guy in the hands with the ball. I mean, the 49ers are a good team. They're a good team, but they're only going to go as far as a quarterback can take them. It ain't Shanahan's fault. It's not Shanahan's fault. Shanahan called plays. The guys are wide open. Nobody's around them. Salah, he calls a good game. You can expect the defense to hold them forever. You know, the quarterback has to come through, man. You know. And it's like, I'm going to shout out to Guru. Hey, Guru, the defense knows. We're in for a squabble, no doubt. That's the ghetto boys. Halloween. What a weekend. Hey, thank y'all, man.
Thanks, Robster.
I like Who? Robster, Roxy, and JD, but I don't think he was being fair because he spoke of the quarterback position as if Jimmy had played in every game, and Jimmy hadn't played in every game. And, you know, Steiny used to kid me, fellas, about the throw in the Super Bowl to Sanders, and Shanahan called up a great play, and if you watch that NFL films, Lynch was right behind Kyle, and Kyle just, he didn't even say a word, but his body language was like, damn, it was there. So I didn't condemn and say Jimmy lost in the Super Bowl. Quarterback could have made that throw, but my point being, just relax, Robster, and if Jimmy comes back, which it looks like it's going to be, I don't want to jinx anything, JD and Roxy, then judge Jimmy accordingly moving forward.
Let's see with the full complement of weapons, assuming that everybody's a go.
I'm waiting
for
on
Sunday,
that.
Right? I want to see this offense at full throttle and not just, okay, bits and pieces here and there. Let me see Garoppolo out there and what this offense is really supposed to look like with Debo, with Brandon Ayuk, with Mostert back there, with a healthy George Kittle. We haven't seen that yet.
No, we haven't. And I just keep I'm going to go back, to the Super Bowl throw because it drives me nuts that, like, I feel like there's a certain faction of people out there, treat that throw like it's the throw Nick Mullins missed to Kyle Juszczyk. Like it's not the same throw. Like it was that easy and that money and that should have been. Like, if Jimmy Garoppolo misses that throw in the Super Bowl and you lose because of it, okay, it's on him. But missing the deep ball to Emmanuel Sanders, I mean, that's a tough throw. That's not a gimme. Aaron Rodgers doesn't always make that throw, and he's probably the best in the game at making that throw. Like, that throw, you know, it's not an automatic, and I think sometimes it gets treated like it is an automatic.
You know what?
The Nick Mullins to Kyle Juszczyk should have been an automatic.
Oh,
right?
Man. Little Durham could have made that throw. Yeah, okay. But, Roxy, life is about – sports are about moments. I think of Lynn Swann's catch in the Super Bowl. You know how you never forget that. And the reason I'm fixated on that throw to Sanders, Roxy, had he hit that and they scored and had they held on, Jimmy Garoppolo's career and everything about him would be different. Nobody could ever take that moment away from him. And right or wrong, I don't want to sound like a guy that's penalizing him for that. My whole point Roxy was some quarterbacks have made that throw. And I take it back to this. Game 6 of the NBA Finals, Steph Curry got a hell of a look. Argued with Steiny, you know, to nauseam about, hey, that wasn't the easiest look, but it's Steph Curry. I seen him make that shot. He didn't make it. It's not why they lost, but my expectation level was there, fellas, you're right, JD. It's not an automatic, but things would be a whole lot different for Garoppolo had he hit Sanders on that throw.
If you're a championship level player, that's a play you need to make.
Okay.
And, I mean, look, Garoppolo has taken his team to the Super Bowl, but to get over the threshold, to be a winner, that's a play you got to make. They didn't make it. That's why they're still looking up and trying to bring that sixth trophy down to Santa Clara.
Yeah, I think, again, if he makes it, he's a Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, man. Right.
It's that
even
final line.
If he makes
the
throw, you think he is, or do you think they give it to Bosa? Because Bosa was such a force in that game.
I think he was in line to be the Super Bowl MVP. Yeah. I think before the Chiefs even came back and took the lead, and then if he had hit that throw, I think that would have been
recency biased. You know, yeah,
that would have been
the play to put him up. Yeah,
no, that would have been it for sure. I think he had definitely would have been take nothing away from Nick Bosa in the game he had, and it's crazy because at that point, if Jimmy Garoppolo makes that one throw, he all of a sudden is. He's bulletproof. He's bulletproof for the rest of his career, basically, at that point in time. I mean, you know, look, Aaron Rodgers is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but he won his championship early, and so he's been immune to some odd playoff failures since, and maybe he still winds up getting another one. But when you get that one early, as Rodgers did, I think his third year as a starter – you know, after a 6-10 and losing his first playoff game, you know, at that point, you're immune. You can go have a career. You can breathe easy. And I think, you know, we'd be having a whole different conversation, I think, about Garoppolo if he winds up winning that game.
I look at the time it bought Joe Flacco, right, when he won a Super Bowl.
Great call,
And he's never considered an elite quarterback, but he's a winner, and he's got a Super Bowl trophy. Trent Dilfer has a Super Bowl trophy. So when you have that, as you alluded to, you can't take it away from you. You've already earned that right. And Flacco has had a good to, I definitely say, above average career, and he's still going, but he's got that Super Bowl championship that people just won't forget.
Yeah, and I don't know, JD, if you heard Emmanuel Sanders talk about that play. It was after he had left the Niners, but he didn't dare insinuate that it was Jimmy's fault. What hurt him was the fact not only did they not win, he said that was a moment in time that him and Jimmy would have been remembered forever in 49er allure. And, you know, like I said, Eminem, the great rapper, says roll rap today. You get one chance, and now here we are. I just assumed Jimmy was going to waltz back to the Super Bowl, fellas. Yeah, it'd be a tad bit more difficult, but now, you know, things beyond his control, injuries left, right. It's just not a given you're going to get back, you know?
No, it's definitely not, and I think we're already seeing that when you look at where the 49ers are right now at 2-2, and everybody's holding their breath as far as, you know, will Jimmy Garoppolo come back this week and not only come back, but come back and play well and lead this team to a win and get them to 3-2 because, you know, the next – you know, six games are going to be the games that ultimately determine what this 49ers team is going to be in 2020. This game is one you have to get. I think it's a must win. I know you guys maybe disagree with that a little bit, but make no mistake, it's going to be the next six games that determine if this team is a playoff team or not. If you can't win this game, though, I just don't think you can look at those, you know, the remaining games on the schedule with a hell of a lot of confidence. This is almost your final shot at, okay, 3-2, could be 4-1, maybe even 5-0, but forget about 5-0. Could be 4-1, but you're 3-2, okay, you're getting healthy, let's go get it. Let's go see how many wins you can get against some good teams.
Is it the mental aspect, JD, or the X's and O's that if they drop this game, you would be more concerned with than why you think
both? Both. Mental is part of it, but it's also they just wouldn't be at that point. Who are they? Like, think about it. If you're 2-3 and you can't beat the Dolphins with Jimmy Garoppolo, you got two wins. You beat the Giants and the Jets. You can't beat a middling Arizona team. You can't beat a mediocre at best Dolphins team, and you let the Eagles come in with no wins and they beat you at Levi's Stadium. Like, you are not a good football team if you can't win this game, Roxy.
You're 0-3 at home if you don't win on Sunday.
JD.
And that's a trouble.
Yeah,
even in this COVID era with no fans allowed to go to the games, it's still your home stadium. You're still in your friendly confines, and you're in your role that you're used to. And if you go to 0-3 at home, that's troubling. That's almost as important as anything else for me, is they just need to win a home game here on Sunday, regardless of the opponent.
A win, Guru, doesn't mean that the 49ers are a good team, but I think a loss tells you that they aren't a good team until further notice. We'll keep this conversation moving. 888-957-9570. We will also run through some of the bigger games throughout week five, and we'll make some picks on some of those games as well. And we're going to get the official injury report from Kyle Shanahan between now and the end of the show. All of that brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.